Hey, we're going to jump right into our word for today. Now at this time, I'm going to be going to a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verses 8 through 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. It's a message titled, "These Are the Good Old Days." Now, that might sound kind of crazy in 2020 as one year comes to an end and another one is going to begin, but I believe you'll connect with it as I get into the word today. But first things first, let's read these couple of verses together from Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verses 8 through 10. It says this, "Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise." Hey, let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We know that all your word is life and light. It's a lamp to our feet. It lights our path. I pray that you'd light our path today. I pray that we'll be able to walk confidently as we live for you as spirit-led, as people of the word and people of the spirit led believers, Lord God, that we've got to follow you as we hear your word and apply it in our lives and the truth from it. Equip us, anoint us, order our steps, we pray, Lord God, and keep working all things together for our good and your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Church, would you pray with me now from home at this time? Well, let's just pray together. Father, help me to not miss what you're doing in my life right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hey, it was almost a year ago that I wrote something down that was pretty interesting. And I went and looked it up because these are some words that I spoke in my end of the year message last year. Now, when 2019 was ending, we sure didn't know what 2020 was going to be like. There was no way to anticipate what would come. And what a year, of course, it was. But as 2019 was ending, here's what I wrote about 2020. I'm going to read you a quote. These are the words I said a year ago on this Sunday. 2020 might not be your year. It's easy for preachers to hype folks up with declarations of this is your year and this is your time. But it's not always your time. Even Jesus had to wait for appointed times. But what is true is that Jesus will be with you every day of 2020, no matter what the year holds, as you abide in him. Unquote. I looked back and read that a year ago and thought, wow, what a promise to hold on to as we entered into 2020. If we didn't know what the year was going to hold, there were folks who went through so much in 2020, but there was something that was true about it. And that's that Jesus was with us every day of the year. That's going to be just as true in 2021 as well, because it's always true. Jesus promised he would always be with us. He always has been. We know that he will be faithful to his word. Well, the proverbial words from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that we read together, they remind us of some truths as well as we end one year and begin another one together. Some things that are true no matter what the year holds. Because just as we didn't know what 2020 would be like, we don't really know what 2021 will be like either. But there are some things that we know to always be true no matter what events take place, because God's word is always true. And those things never change. There are things that change in life. When I got up this morning, I was hungry. Then I ate a bagel and I wasn't hungry. But guess what will happen? I'll get hungry again. Whether I'm hungry or not keeps changing depending on how long since I ate. But there are things from God's word that are always true and they never change. They always remain. And that piece of proverbial wisdom from Ecclesiastes reminds us of some things that we're going to look at real quick here. And the first one is this: as we end one year and we enter into another one, it's a truth that we always want to remember in our lives, and that's to leave the past in the past. Leave the past in the past. In about 100 hours or so, 2020 will be history. And for most of us, we probably want to say so long, sayonara, adios, ciao, however you say goodbye, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, or maybe let the door hit you on the way out, depending on how 2020 was for you. But the year is just about done. But that's true for that year. But sometimes when we look back in life and look over previous days, we can look back and have different attitudes. Sometimes we look back with regret. Sometimes we look back and we wish we could do something again or live some time again. And that could be with regret because we would want to do things differently. Sometimes we could want to live through a time again because it was a wonderful time and we could think, wow, I'd like to experience that again. Or maybe we would want to go back to, like I said, correct a mistake or say something different. But the bottom line is there's no going back. Nobody gets to go backwards in life. We only go forward. And we all know that in a literal sense. But that doesn't mean that if we aren't careful that we don't revisit things in our minds or even hang out in the past if we aren't careful. Like all of us, Paul the Apostle had a lot of things behind him as well, both good things and bad things. He had at times come through as God's man of the hour and been amazing, and yet there had also been times in Paul's life where he had had great conflict in relationships and had to part ways with other individuals. But just like you and just like me, he couldn't go backwards. He just had to stay where he was. Knowing this, he pens some powerful words in his letter to the church in Philippi. He writes this in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. It's a familiar passage for some of us, but let's read it together. He wrote this, "Not that I have already obtained all this," he's talking about the things of God here, "or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Now, Paul had lost a lot along the way. He had been through some rough trials along the way. He had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. He had been sent to Rome. There were times where he was held for a couple of years. He had experienced a lot of loss along with some good things that he had seen over the years. And yet what he said was, in spite of all those things he'd gone through, he said, "I forget what's behind and I strain toward what's ahead." Paul learned, I have to leave the past in the past. Where I am now is where I'm at. Hey, I read a story one time about a parakeet named Chippy. I never had a pet bird. I have a dog. You might have saw Mr. Fox interrupt my sermon last Sunday. But this was an individual who owned a parrot named Chippy. And somehow Chippy went through an ordeal that a reporter got word of and wrote a story about Chippy, and it's been tossed around over the years, but it's a real story. You can actually look Chippy up. But I want to highlight it for you. Here's what happened. Let's just jump into Chippy's story. Chippy was a pet parakeet, lived in a bird cage, and one day Chippy's owner was going to clean out the bird cage, and she was going to do it with a vacuum cleaner. I never had a bird. I don't know how to clean out a bird cage. That seems kind of crazy to me, but that's what she was doing. So she opened the little door on the bird cage, and she took the end off of the attachment on her vacuum so that it was just the hose, and she's vacuuming up the bottom of the bird cage to clean it out. But while Chippy's owner is vacuuming out the bird cage, her phone rang. And vacuuming the cage, she turned to answer her phone, and when she turned, she heard a sound. She vacuumed Chippy up. That little parakeet got sucked into the vacuum hose, and as soon as she heard it, she whirled around and realized she had sucked her parakeet into the vacuum. Well, of course, she dropped the phone and turned the vacuum off, and she opened her vacuum cleaner, and she quickly ripped open the vacuum bag, and there was Chippy inside the vacuum cleaner bag. She grabbed the bird, but Chippy was filthy. I mean, come on, what would we expect to look like or our condition to be inside a vacuum cleaner bag? So the bird was covered with, she said, of course, with dirt and dust, and then the waste from the bird cage, and there was soot. She had been vacuuming out her fireplace. So the bird is just covered with all this filth. So she ran to the bathroom with her little bird, Chippy, and she turned on the bathroom faucet, and she stuck her bird right under the faucet to wash him off quickly. Well, while she was washing Chippy off under the faucet, she realized that her little bird was just shaking, and she's washing him off with just cold water, and she's freezing the poor little guy. He's just shaking. So she realizes he's too cold, so she grabs her hair dryer, and she sits him there, and she blasts little Chippy with the hair dryer to dry him off, which he had quite the reaction to the hot air, and this was Chippy's ordeal. Now, Chippy survived all of this. But the reporter who found out, who decided to write a little story about Chippy, asked the woman who owned Chippy, "How's the bird now?" He was talking to her a few days after all this happened. And she said, "Well, he seems okay, but he doesn't sing anymore. He just sits there and stares all the time." It's terrible that I want to laugh. Sorry if you're a bird lover. That's a terrible story. But come on, Chippy really went through it. Chippy went through a lot, man. I mean, sucked up in the vacuum, flushed under the water, blasted with the hair dryer. What an ordeal to go through. And it had a real impact on him. And reality is, and in your life and in my life, what we go through has a lot of impact on us as well. Sometimes life seems to suck us up, flood us, blast us, kind of knock us out. It can happen along the way. But what we can't do is let the past take our song from us. We like Paul, have to leave yesterday behind us and say, you know what? I'm going to keep walking with God. I've been through some stuff, but I keep living for him. I leave those past days behind me in my life. It's in Psalm 30 that we read these familiar words. It says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Joy comes in the morning. That's always true. That's always true. We missed out on a lot this year in 2020. We did. There are things that we love to get to do that we do every year that we didn't get to do. That's true for us collectively as a church. That's true for your family. That's true for you as an individual. For so many of us, there are things that we always do and we didn't get to do them. There are get-togethers we would have had, we didn't get to have them. There were things we would have done, maybe things we always did, we didn't get to do them. There was a lot of loss. There was a lot, even if we maintained our income or our jobs or whatever, all of us still experienced a lot of loss in different ways in our lives in 2020. And there are some who experienced some real loss, who did lose a job or sickness or even lost a loved one. There are so many things. We can't change those things. But what we don't want to do is to look back and long for different times. That's what Ecclesiastes talked about. We look at the situation we're in, the year we've been through, this whole time of this pandemic, and maybe we then look back to an older time and think, wow, back then was good. Back then was better. And we long for the good old days. Remember back in 2018. Remember back in 2015. Remember back, whatever it would be. We look back longing for a different time. That passage from Ecclesiastes is a challenge and a reminder to us, don't do that. You can't go back there. You are where you are. So, first truth from that passage in Ecclesiastes, we forget what's behind and we press on. But as we press on, the passage also reminds us of how to do it. And I want to encourage you to press on with hope. To press on with hope. Hope is a powerful thing. Ecclesiastes says, ending is better than beginning. Finishing is better than starting. Since that's true, we keep moving in life and we stay focused on moving toward the goal. The whole Bible is a book that is always looking forward. From beginning to end, the Bible is a forward-looking book, always looking ahead and not backwards. And as we read it, we read primarily about events that, even though we're reading about events that have already taken place in our lifetime, they're still written from this perspective of looking forward. Hebrews speaks of Abraham as a great example of this. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read that Abraham left his home and by faith went to the land God had promised him. And Hebrews 11:10 says that he was looking for a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. Abraham was just pressing on with hope. He was always looking forward, from believing for the promised land to believing for a child that he would eventually get. He always just kept looking forward and believing. You remember Abraham's nephew Lot when he ended up in Sodom. But when he fled Sodom, what did the angel tell Lot and his wife and his daughters? Don't look back. Don't look back. Now we know what happened with Lot's wife, that she did look back. But the call was, keep going forward. You can't go backwards. The Bible is this forward-looking book. We just finished walking through 2 Timothy together as a church. I preached through that little book together, and we went through it as a series. In it, Paul said that he had fought the good fight, he had finished the course, he had kept the faith, and now there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him, and not only for him, but for all who long for Christ's appearing. Come on, we look forward to Christ's appearing. We look forward with hope to the second coming of Christ. Paul was always filled with hope on his journey, hope for something more. And even in Revelation, we read of how God is preparing a place for us where he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there's no more sorrow, there's no more sickness, there's no more loss. The Bible is always looking forward to something. Scholars and theologians call this having an eschatological perspective. There's a big church word for us today, an eschatological perspective. Eschatology is the study of the end of times, as how things will end. An eschatological perspective means we never get stuck on bad news. We always know that there is something else to come. There's always something more. There's always something ahead. So we maintain hope. We maintain hope. Years ago, I'll never forget this conversation. I was a young pastor, and I'd probably only been pastoring a couple of years at the time, still in my 20s. And there was a woman in our church who had been a psychiatric nurse for decades. And her name was Catherine Lynch. She was a great woman of God. And I was speaking with Catherine one time, and with the, you know, she had many years of experience in this field and in the hospital where she worked at. And I remember saying to Catherine one day, talking to her, I said, Catherine, I watched two people go through different sets or go through very similar sets of circumstances. And one of them goes through a rough set of circumstances, and they just seem like they just keep going. They press through it, they get stronger, they go through. And another person goes through the same set of circumstances, and they just kind of fall apart. They don't hold up well through it at all. I said, what's the difference between those two people? And I remember Catherine's answer, because she looked at me and she said, one person has hope and the other one doesn't. What a response. One person has hope and the other one doesn't. She said, if you believe things are always going to be bad, it's hard to keep going. But if you believe things are going to get better, then it encourages you to keep going forward. Hey, we're the children of God. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That is the promise from God over our lives. So as the children of God, as men and women of God, as young people of God, we always know, we maintain that eschatological perspective of we know we win in the end. We know that God works all things together for the good of those who love them. We know that who love him. We know that God is working things together for our good and his glory. We hold on to such promises, these precious promises, as Peter describes them in God's word, and that motivates us to keep going forward. James had that eschatological perspective when he penned these words in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Let me read them to you. James 1, 2 through 4. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. If we were there, we'd be like, James, are you crazy? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The trials in our lives, the difficulties in our lives, are what strengthen us and develop us into the men and women of God that God wants us to be. They build character up within us. I heard about a guy one time who, behind his home, there was a cocoon hanging where a caterpillar had made a cocoon to turn into a butterfly, obviously. And he watched it for however long the cocoon was there. I don't know how long a cocoon hangs. I didn't look it up. But he noticed it on the day when the cocoon started wiggling around, and he knew the butterfly is going to break out. So he was watching it, and after a little while, the cocoon kind of split in the bottom, and he left and was coming back and checking on it. And after a little bit, about half the cocoon was open, but the butterfly was still caught in there, and he's shaking and fighting, trying to get out. And after a bit, this guy started feeling sorry for the butterfly. He was thinking, I think he's trapped. I think he can't get out. So he went and he got a pair of cuticle scissors, and he just very gently cut open the rest of the cocoon to free the butterfly so that he would be free from this thing that had him trapped. But then what happened is the butterfly never flew. The butterfly fell to the ground and just hung out for a period of time until the butterfly just died. He never flew away. What the guy didn't know about butterflies, what I wouldn't have known until I read that story one time, was that it's the breaking out of the cocoon that strengthens the butterfly's wings so that he has the strength that he needs to be able to fly. It's part of the butterfly's development. If you remove the trial, if you remove the struggle from the butterfly's journey, then now the butterfly can't fly. He never becomes who he was supposed to be. Man, even in our own lives, although our trials, our struggles, although things can be very difficult, they are in fact what strengthen us, James said. They're what equip us and build us up. They provide us with the character that we need to become, as the Bible said there, perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means every struggle is worth it in the end. They might not be fun when we go through them, but in the end, they're worth it. It doesn't mean they're pleasant, but life's trials are what is used to make us who we are. If you hadn't gone through what you went through, you wouldn't be who you are. You wouldn't have the skill sets you have. You wouldn't have the strength you have. You wouldn't be able to help others who go through similar things. It's what we've been through that develops us into who we are today. Let me give you one final thought on this, springing off that passage in Ecclesiastes. Of all this being said, of Ecclesiastes talking about not just looking back, but having hope. Having hope as we press on, this final thought. And that's an encouragement as we end one year and enter another one, to be present in the present. Be present in the present. The primary truth of our text from Ecclesiastes today is that while we leave the past in the past and press forward with hope, we need to stay focused on the present. Now, that's not a call to live haphazardly. That's not a call to live with no focus or to not plan for anything. Rather, it's a call to not miss what is happening in our lives in the here and now, because God's always doing something now. God's always doing something today. It's easy. It's easy to look for something else or to always be looking for something else, to be looking for something more. And it can happen. It can happen when we're in, you know, when we're kids, we're looking to finish school, the school year. When we get closer in high school, we're looking to graduation. You go to college, you're looking to finish college. You get a job, you have a career, you're looking for the next promotion, looking for the next pay scale. We're looking for a spouse. We're looking for a certain possession. We're looking to buy something, to get a certain thing, to acquire something along the way. And if we aren't careful, even though being ambitious can be a very good thing when directed by God, but we can live our lives missing the moment all the time because we're always just looking for something else that is out there. And the call here really is to not live that way. We don't want to miss today's blessings because we're just looking for tomorrow's blessings. And we don't want to miss today's blessings because we're just looking back, remembering what God did in yesteryear. We don't want to do that. I've seen some wonderful men and women of God, and they truly were wonderful men and women of God. But they just keep reliving victories in their lives from 20, 30, 40 years ago. Here's what God did in 1995, and here's what God did in 1980. Man, that's wonderful what God did in 1980, but we can't go back to 1980. We don't have a DeLorean that travels through time. We got to hang right here in 2020 and now going into 2021. It's where we are, and we want to be a part of what God is doing in this season. God is doing new things in the here and now. And that's true no matter how old you are, and that's true over our lives personally, over our families, over the church collectively as a local church, and even the church at large. That's always true. God is always doing things right now, always will be. He's doing things right now in your life. He's doing things right now in my life. There's a little poem I want to read as I start to pull these things together today. And it's a poem that's actually often read at funerals. Maybe this is our funeral for 2020. It gets read often, or sometimes it's just printed in programs and things, and you may have heard it along the way. But it's called the Dash Poem. And just to pull these together, let's read it as a reminder for us. It goes like this. It says, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what is true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, when your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? That's where I am right now, that dash representing my life. That's where we're at. Family, none of us know what 2021 holds. We didn't know what 2020 would hold. But what I hear a lot of in recent months is people who are looking kind of just to get by in this season. It's easy for us because this whole pandemic has drug on now for 9 months, and we don't know how many months are ahead of us of this. It's easy for us to live our lives, if we aren't careful at this time in our lives, where we just are kind of like, we just got to get through this. We just got to, you know, we're going to get this summer, we're finally going to get to do things again, or next fall it's going to be open again, or this spring things are going to be freed up. And if we aren't careful in this season, we'll get caught up to where we're living our lives where all we're doing is remembering what we used to get to do and looking ahead to what maybe we're going to get to do. But the call there is, what about right now? Because God's doing things right now. We got to keep growing right now. We got to keep reaching out in love right now. We got to keep giving generously and praying bold prayers and being lights in the darkness and letting God move in our lives. We got to be present with our family and our friends and our loved ones. Maybe you can't even be physically present with them, but still to be present in their lives. We don't want to miss the present. That's so important. In 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5, we get a good look at a biblical perspective on the past, present, and future in life. And catch this as like a final thought today. It's in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9 where Paul writes, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. So has the past really been difficult at times? Sure it's been. Even this past year maybe has been very difficult at times for you. That's true. But friend, it didn't destroy you. It didn't destroy you. That's what Paul writes there. Went through some trials, went through some tough things, but it didn't destroy you. Here you are. That's the past. Then the present comes in 2 Corinthians 4:16, where Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Are we wasting away outwardly? Well, I'm not as young as I used to be. I have a birthday next Sunday. The years keep ticking by, so we age along the way. We know that happens. But the call there is we don't lose heart. So, was the past tough? Some parts of it were, but we weren't destroyed. Are there some downsides of the present? Yeah, but we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart is the call there as well. And the past didn't destroy me, and I'm not going to lose heart in the present. Since those things are true, the believer wakes up each and every day with this in mind. 2 Corinthians 5:9. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, "So we make it our goal to please him." So we make it our goal to please him. Hallelujah. Family, we're living in a day where it's easy to not think about today. To not think about today. If we aren't careful, that can happen with us. If we aren't careful, all we will do is look back and remember or look ahead and wait. But as we end one year and we begin a new one, I want to encourage us today to leave the past in the past, to press on each day with hope, and let's live each day present in that day, looking for that day. Are we stuck at home? Might be. Not the job you want to have? Could be true. School online and that's not how you want it? That might be the case. Still single and you want to be married? That could be true. Rather have a different position than the one you've got? Might be so. Those are all kind of, can't plan or don't know what the next few months hold? Could be true over all of us. All those things could be true, but none of that changes that God wants us to be present in this moment because God wants to do things in our lives right now. Let's keep growing. Let's keep following him. Let's press on with hope in him, knowing, hey, God's got some new stuff for today, for the right now. And we don't want to miss that because we're just so hung up on remembering yesterday or wondering what is ahead. Let me pray over you right now. I'm going to believe that in this 2021, as we enter into it, that you're going to be present in it. You're going to be present with God. Hallelujah. Because I know God wants to do some unique things in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for the promises of it. We thank you, Lord God, that you're still doing new things. What a crazy time for us, Lord God. I know, Lord God, you're firm on your throne and have things in control. But for us, there's just been so much uncertainty. And it's easy for us, Lord God, to get hung up on what Ecclesiastes warns us not to do as we looked at today. It's easy for us to just remember previous years and what we used to do, or for us to just try to look past what we're going through right now. But I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, knowing that you're doing things in our lives right now, I pray that we won't miss it, that we won't miss the uniqueness of the season we're in, but that we'll be a people who will keep growing. We'll be used by you collectively as a church. We'll be used by you individually on a personal level as well, Lord God, that we will walk in the newness of this day, hallelujah, believing for you to do great things in our lives. Be glorified in great ways in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to encourage you, press on. Maintain that hope. Keep that eschatological perspective as we go forward. I know God has new things in store for you as well. God bless you. Hey, keep checking up on one another. The church was such a blessing to myself, my wife, Hector and Melissa, others who were sick over this time frame. I thank you so much. The generosity of meals dropped off and people just checking up on us. It was truly amazing. I just want to commend you for that. Keep doing that for one another and look out for one another when you find out folks are going through things. Many of you know Daniel and Maria Antonia, who sings on our worship team sometimes as well, often on Saturdays, once in a while on Sunday as well. Great part of our church, our sons Caleb and Abimelech, their son-in-law died just this past week, a week or so ago, of COVID-related issues as well. He was a young man, leaves a wife and a couple of young children. Our hearts go out to them. I've been praying for him. I want to encourage you as a church, keep praying for that whole family, for God to comfort and provide for them and folks who are mourning that loss there. That's a challenging situation altogether. Lift one another up. So I'm saying with there, keep praying in this moment as we continue to live for him. God bless you. God bless you. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. I'm glad you connected with us. Amen.